Gold Belt wants the Boundary Commission to exclude the area of the mainland north of Cape Fanshawe from the proposed borough. That would include Hobart Bay, where the Native Corporation owns 30,000 acres, which it extensively logged in the 1980s. It now supports a substantial second growth of young trees, according to board member Ben Cornell. He described how the corporation had struggled economically and was hoping to use its Hobart Bay lands to build a world-class travel destination.
What we do not need or want is something that's going to hold us up. This is a long shot. It's a gamble. We cannot afford to hold it up, and we don't want to face bankruptcy again. We want to be good neighbors. In the 80s, 20 years ago, we did logging. We did business over here in Petersburg. We'd like to continue to do business with Petersburg. The last thing I want to do is leave with hard feelings. What we would really like is to leave it unorganized.
Cornell donned a Chilcat blanket when he spoke to the commission. The family heirloom is roughly 200 years old, according to Cornell, who wore it to emphasize the importance of this issue. It's also important to the city and borough of Juneau, which wants to annex the area north of Cape Fanshawe to its southern border at Holcomb Bay. That's roughly half the territory in Petersburg's borough plan. CBJ called on a variety of witnesses who testified, among other issues, about the community's own historic, social, and economic ties to the contested land and water of Stevens Passage. One was Wayne Reglin, a retired deputy commissioner for Alaska Fish and Game and a current president of Territorial Sportsmen in Juneau.
I think it's pretty obvious that the contested area is frequently used by residents of Juneau for hunting and halibut fishing, while it is sparsely used by residents of Petersburg.
Another Juneau witness, commercial fisherman Jeff Shelton, challenged earlier Petersburg testimony that its commercial fishing fleet dominated the area in question.
It's really unclear why a relatively distant area that is frequently frequented by some members of a local fleet should have any influence at all on establishing political boundaries. It's especially true for an area that is utilized by sizable numbers of fishing vessels from other home ports. A number of Juneau residents, in addition to myself, quite a number, regularly work in the area that we're talking about here, harvesting a variety of fish and shellfish species.
Petersburg witnesses had a chance to respond to the variety of issues raised by opponents of the borough. Several, like City Councilor Sue Flint, pointed out how the city benefits not only its own local residents, but those who live in surrounding areas.
There are state and federal facilities that are supported by the city, like the airport, with a police officer meeting every jet, the ferry terminal, the court, the post office, and the highway. These facilities would not be here if there was no city of Petersburg. I feel we are all in this together, and together we will have a stronger voice in the future of our area.
And City Clerk Kathy O'Rear said she couldn't think of any other local issue that has had more public process than the borough.
From February 2006 through October 2010, over 30 public sessions were held on borough formation. These sessions included work sessions with the communities of Wrangell, Cake, and Kuprinoff, work sessions between the City Council and Charter Commission, numerous community question and answer sessions, including one three-hour-long event where residents could ask questions directly to legal counsel.
O'Rear said there were also more than a dozen public meetings of the Borough Charter Commission, and the councils kept the borough as a dedicated item on its meeting agenda for the last 2 years. Petersburg got support from the city and borough of Wrangell officials, including Economic Development Director Carol Rushmore.
And first off, I would like to say thank you, because several of you were on the commission 4 years ago when we went through our borough formation process. And we incorporated the borough 4 years ago yesterday. It has been a good process for us. We have seen increased revenues in the PILT payments, the revenue sharing, and then we had the $600,000 organizational grant, which we are still utilizing. We developed a comp plan, and I think many of the things I'm talking about will also benefit Petersburg in the long run as well.
Several leaders from the community of Cake turned out to oppose Petersburg's western borough boundary, which includes roughly half of Kuprinoff Island. Lincoln Bean serves on the tribal council for the organized village of Cake, the community's tribal government.
It was my grandfather's land. I'm going to be a grandfather this fall. That's my grandchildren's land. And the reason, Mr. Chairman, I'm opposing the boundary, no one came to us to talk to us about it. You may have gone to some other people, but I feel like I'm disenfranchised for not being talked to as a tribal leader.
Being read from a joint resolution passed by the tribal and city governments of Cake, it said the Petersburg boundary, quote, infringes upon Cake's territory from a historical use perspective established from time immemorial. It called on the state to leave the entire island out of the Petersburg borough. Joe Sebastian, who lives in the city of Kuprinoff across the Wrangell Narrows from Petersburg, agreed with leaving the island out. He said he didn't want to stop Petersburg's borough, he just didn't want to be part of it.
As good as the city of Petersburg is, we feel that councils come and go. And as you said, we can't trust what's going to come down in the future. Those of us that have been here for some amount of time, the present council is a very good one, very judicious, as fair-minded as a person could ask, but there have been some real lulus in the past.
That general concern was voiced by a lot of borough opponents. Some worried that future borough assemblies would impose new regulations or increase taxes on newly incorporated areas. Dave Kensinger, a borough supporter who lives outside Petersburg at Keene Channel, called into the hearing and had a different take on the issue.
There's nothing that's forever in a democracy. Everything is subject to change, and everything will change. And to me, that is the beauty of the democracy. And I have full faith in my neighbors who live outside of the city limits of Petersburg that they'll be fully engaged in the process and that they will be able to make their voices heard so that any of the scary things that we're afraid of happening will not happen.
The Boundary Commission listened to public comments and sworn testimony throughout the day and into the evening Thursday. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.